The Delta variant, do the vaccines work with it as well? Some say they do. I have data that says maybe not so much. And how bad is it? Come on, let's go find out.
The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Chris Martinson, episode 14. It's July 13th, I guess, 2021. We're going to talk about the Delta variant today. Again, remember we talked about it last time, but there's some really important information that needs to come out. In particular, my conclusion, if you only want to spend 10 seconds on this whole video, I don't think it's quite as bad as being advertised. But of course, we're going to use data to make that point. So let's go. What is the advertising? First, remember, last time on June 21st, episode 13, we talked about this thing, oh no, the Delta variant cometh, right? And they're worried about, experts are worried about these very dense outbreaks over here, and they said things like that. Now remember, as a reminder, what is the Delta variant? Something we worried about a little bit. Remember, there's this PRRA insert in the virus genome. It's right between the S1, S2 subunits of the spike proteins, which we've heard so much about. And that PRRA stands for four amino acids. The R and the R are arginines, and that cues a protease inside of your body to clip it there. And that clip function confers a lot of the ability of this particular virus, like many other viruses that have had that gain of function insert sequence, that little cassette of insert sequence put into them that allows those proteases to clip. That allows the entrance to happen. It goes into the cell more easily. And remember, the Delta variant is what's called the P681R. That means in that dreaded PRRA sequence, we now have RRRA, because that P at the 681 position got turned into an R. So hypothesis time, I hypothesized last time, that makes it even more easily clipped by the protease, makes it even more easily able to get into the cell, which makes it more transmissible. That fits with everything we're seeing so far. But one of the cool things is that over time, viruses tend to become less lethal over time. And that hypothesis is now being confirmed by the data that we're actually seeing. So this Delta variant absolutely is way more transmissive, but we're going to show you data. It's not nearly as lethal. So far, that's what the data says. So we showed you stuff like this, you know, Wall Street Journal was saying Delta variant outbreak in Israel affects some vaccinated adults. And it's a very scary sort of an article. But when we went to the data, we discovered, and again, I'm going to get my drawing tool out here. When we went to the data, we found out that, in fact, we weren't seeing really anything to talk about, like hardly any deaths down here. So good news. I think the vaccine is conferring some benefit in terms of fewer hospitalizations, fewer deaths. Good news. The coronaviruses tend to go right away in spring and summer anyway. Good news, this variant, the Delta variant, seems to be less lethal. So let's go there to that data. But first, let's take a tour through the fear porn that's coming out right now. An NBC article says COVID's Delta variant is highly contagious. Will the vaccines work against it? What do you mean work? At any rate, the conclusion subheadline on this piece, if you didn't want to read the article, says experts say that if people are waiting for a magical moment to get vaccinated, this is it. This is your magic moment, brought to you by the Delta variant. At any rate, let's take a peek here. This comes from July 6, 2021. They say here the Delta variant now accounts for half of the COVID-19 cases in many areas of the U.S. That's ominous. President Joe Biden said Tuesday, urging unvaccinated Americans to get the COVID-19 shots as the U.S. faces a dramatic rise in the hyper-transmissible variant of the coronavirus. So you see the setup of this? We all know that the coronavirus is not something you want, and if one is more transmissible, it must be worse. But they're leaving out, remember, there's always two things you care about in a virus. One, how transmissible? The R-naught. The higher the R-naught, the more transmissible. Yeah, you care about that because that tells you how much more easily it spreads between people, particularly for an airborne virus like this one. Remember that airborne controversy? Shouldn't be controversial yet at this point still. But the second thing you care about, number two, would be, well, if you get it, how bad is it, right? So, in fact, what we would want in a somewhat lethal or problematic virus is for it to become more transmissible but less lethal or less deadly, or to create fewer complications or things like that. In fact, if we had a virus that was 100% transmissible, had an R-naught of a billion, and it spread to everybody instantly, but it did nothing, we wouldn't really care, right? So that's what they're leaving out of this article. So hyper-transmissible, oh no. His plea, Joe Biden's plea, included reassurances about the strength of the COVID-19 vaccines available in the U.S. Quote, fully vaccinated Americans have a high degree of protection, including against this Delta variant, Biden said at a news briefing, pointing out that virtually all COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths in recent months have been among the unvaccinated. Hold on to that thought. Quote, virtually all COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths in recent months have been among the unvaccinated. I think what they meant to say was in the U.S., because we're going to show you some data from the UK that says that's not a true statement. It can't be. There's something wrong with it. All right, so carrying on here, let me see. Where am I going next? Oh, yeah. The Intelligencer says, what do we know about the dangerous Delta variant? So here they're setting this up. This comes to us July 11th out of New York Mag here. Says here the Delta or B.1.617.2 coronavirus variant originally discovered in India last December has now become the most, if not the most, worrisome strain of the coronavirus circulating globally. Now, why would you be worrisome? Worrisome, of course, because it's more deadly, has worse effects, is killing more people, is harming more people. That would be worrisome, right? If it just spreads more, but it doesn't do those other things, is it more worrisome? That, of course, should be the substance of an article like this. Should be. All right, let's carry on. Research suggests, continuing the quote here, it, the Delta variant, may be the most transmissible variant, yet 40 to 60% more contagious than the Alpha variant, which itself fueled numerous waves of the pandemic around the world. Delta has already spread to at least 98 countries. The strain undoubtedly contributed to the massive wave of cases that has inundated India in recent months, hold that thought, makes up virtually all new cases in the UK and more than half of new coronavirus infections in the US per new CDC estimates. On top of all that, it may be more likely to infect people who are only partially vaccinated than other strains and may also come with a higher risk of hospitalization. Below is what we know about the Delta variant. I mean, that's ominous, right? I mean, you got to admit, that's if this is all you read, that sounds pretty bad. It's in all these countries. It's like the Alpha variant, which fueled numerous waves of pandemic around the world, but worse, you know, it's more transmissible. That's kind of the story coming up. Notice here they say, remember, this is the variant that inundated India. And we might say, well, that's okay, I guess, because India's doing okay. This is just the data, right? You know, I'm not spreading theories. I'm spreading data. And hopefully good cheer, because if you look here, these are new deaths in India. And it's just they're just getting crushed down here. And again, there's some mysterious thing at play in India that's causing this to do this. We don't know. It's just got to remain a mystery here in the land of the free, home of the brave. All right. At any rate, I'll let you interpret that however you want. But that's the data. We have this data that says India's inundated with this coronavirus variant, as they said here, inundated, and they don't seem to be doing that bad. So what do we make of that? Well, let's carry on with the story. I think we can make something out of that. Now, what we have is, well, this is just a wall of, it's fear porn at this point in time, because look at this. Europe struggles to break free of COVID restrictions as Delta variant surges. Remember, we had a surge in Iraq. Yeah, surges. Surge is not a good word in this story. These are just random headlines I just pulled out. By the way, I didn't do any editing. I just typed in a search term, and this is what popped out. The danger of the Delta variant. Okay, look at that. Evidence suggests, for example, that an unvaccinated person with Delta infection is roughly twice as likely to require hospital treatment. Sounds bad. The Delta variant, a new COVID-19 threat. It says it's driving an increase of COVID-19 cases in the U.S. And here's why this form of the coronavirus is dangerous. unvaccinated face growing COVID danger from the Delta variant. Now, there's a lot of unsubstantiated assertions made in here. I mean, I like my data. You know, President Joe Biden said that virtually all people in the hospital right now from COVID with the Delta variant are unvaccinated. So I worked really hard to try and find this. Whitney was researching this for me. We couldn't find data that said, here are how many people ended up in the United States hospital system. Here's how many of them had sequenced COVID strain data. Here's how many of those had the Delta variant. Here's how many of those were vaccinated. That's data, right? How many? We couldn't find any of that data. But the good news is there is actually that data is out there. And so we're going to get to that in just a second. But this is what's going on. And the reason I'm starting with this article before we get to that data is because the data I have is from the UK. So what's going on in the UK? What's going on in good old England? COVID passports are planned in time for England's autumn wave. We're already talking about the autumn wave. Dude, I'm just settling into summer. Can we not get to the autumn wave already? But here it is. They're talking about the autumn wave, and they say COVID-19 certificates will be required for customers to enter bars, restaurants, and nightclubs under plans to tackle a fourth wave of the virus in a move that experts hope will boost jab rates among the young. Why? I guess they go to bars, restaurants, and nightclubs. So no nightclubs for you. They do have one distinction in here. It's minor, but maybe it's important. Entertainment venues in England would be forced to make customers use so-called vaccination passports. I'm getting to that in part two of this big time. From autumn, to prove that they either had both doses or a negative test the day before. So if you want to go out to a nightclub, I guess you got to get a test the day before. It's got to be negative. They don't have anything in here for people who've already had COVID. They don't get a free pass on this thing. So it's like you have two choices. You either have to test negative, and that means you have to get tested every time you want to go out, which is a pain, or you got to get the jab, right? They're making this simple. They're driving people towards the vaccine. Of course, there ought to be a third case of people here. If you're really worried about public health, if this was about public health, you would say there's a third class of people out there, which would include people who've already had COVID because they have natural immunity, which, of course, is the best kind of immunity. As well, there ought to be a fourth class of people, honestly, and those are people who can't take the jab. Remember, according to even the FDA and the CDC, if you've had jab one out of a two-jab series and you have a bad reaction, an anaphylactic shock or some other serious immune response, you shouldn't get a second jab. So what about those people? Where do they fall in this? Are they going to run afoul of this vaccine passport concept and all of that? There's none of that subtlety baked into this. Honestly, people, come on. We're closing in on a year and a half into this thing. We have all the data we need. We can have the sophistication for this. We can say that there are people who really don't need to be jabbed in order to be safe, or there are people who can't be jabbed. And so what are we going to do, marginalize all these people? Remember, we're supposed to be hypersensitive to all these different strains and flavors of humans out there, and we have to combat all sorts of isms that exist out there. We're supposed to be very, very subtly aware of people's personal use of pronouns, for instance, right? Without going into that too much more deeply, how is it that we're going to do that, but we're not going to be interested in understanding the subtlety of people who either can't or don't want to get the vaccination or have had a bad experience with it already or have already had a round of COVID so they don't need one, and or they're people who have legitimate concerns for why they would be a particular bad candidate for this, even if they haven't already had a bad experience with jab one, right? There are people out there. We know that sometimes these vaccines do tend to emerge underlying health conditions for people, right? And so there are people with strong underlying health conditions who might say, I'm a little nervous about this. I'd rather not go down that path. So, but you know what? I like data. So let's go to the data now and take a quick peek at this. The best Delta data we have so far comes to us out of Public Health England. This is, I got the link right there. You can see the link down below. And we talk here about this paper right here. It's a technical briefing. This is the 18th. They put a lot of them out here. And this one is SARS-CoV-2 variants of concern and variants under investigation in England. By the way, this was a late report. I've been tracking these reports when they come out. They come out with great regularity. This one was slow to come out. And there was some question about that. And then when it finally came out, I think I understood why it was a little slow to come out. So first, some really good data. Sorry that I'm cutting off part of this table, but I want, just take me out of the picture. That makes it easy. So the title I have here is Good News, Delta is Less Lethal. Here's why. Table 3, number of confirmed, and they did this by sequencing cases, and probable, so they did genotyping, so they have confirmed and probable. As of July 5th, 2021, these are all the variants down this side right here. You got your alpha, your beta, your delta, your eta, gamma, kappa, lambda, blah, blah, blah. We're talking about the delta today and why it's, it's got a huge number of cases. So the alpha, which is the prominent predominant strain, 220,000 confirmed cases. Delta is already up to 82,000 confirmed cases. Probable was only 5,000 here in the case of the alpha, but 87,613 probable for a grand total of 170,000 total case numbers for Delta. Now, a lot of other data in here, but let's wander on over and see that there were 112 deaths so far out of that number of cases, and that gives us a case fatality rate of 0.2%. compared to 1.9% for alpha, 1.4% for beta, but just 0.2%, which means the Delta variant, as of with 170,000 cases under the belt so far, and maybe these numbers could change over time as, you know, time passes and maybe more people get sick with it, but as it stands right now, it has the same case fatality rate as the flu. I mean, identical. Now, what we didn't talk about with the flu in any year up to now, or probably in tomorrow either, is should we exclude whole swaths of the population? Should we have passports? Should we have lots of rules? Should there be restrictions? Should, you know, schools be terminated? Should we, yeah, on and on and on. We never did that with the flu. But this is the data right now. The data says, and this is good news, the Delta is less lethal. So yes, it's more transmissible, but it's less lethal. All right, Livia, let's come on back to the main show here. All right. So this right here is also from that same report, page 17. This is the money shot right here. This is the amazing part right here. So let's go through this table really carefully. First, they have age groups and they've broken them into under 50 and over 50. And then there's the total number of people that were involved in this case. And then they had cases with specimen data in the past 28 days, and this, we can just ignore this column, ignore this whole column. There's nothing here. NAs. The vaccination status unknown, very few people in this case, 17 in this one, 34, 4, 2, nothing to really worry about. So there's two big buckets here, those who have been vaccinated and those who haven't. In the green over here, with all these green swipe marks, you were either, first, you were under 21 days of post dose one. So you had dose one, but it's less than 3 weeks after that. So that's this column right here. Or you had more than 21 days after your first vaccination, or you'd received two doses. So they broke these vaccinated people into those three categories. Less than 3 weeks after your first dose, more than 3 weeks after your first dose, or you got both doses. And then there's unvaccinated. So this first big block of rows here is in emergency care resulted in overnight inpatient admissions, okay? So as we look at this, we see that the unvaccinated did not fare well. They got admitted to the hospital. There were 651 out of 852 got admitted. And that's comparing it to these numbers here, which is 71 and 80 and 33. So whatever that adds up to, 150, you know, maybe 180. So maybe 180 under 50-year-old people ended up in the hospital who had been vaccinated at least within 3 weeks of first dose. So the unvaccinated fared poorly. So strong data here to suggest that if you are vaccinated and you're under 50, you end up in the hospital less often than somebody who's unvaccinated with the Delta variant. However, when we go to over 50, things get a little murkier here. This is where the things get troublesome from a easy understanding standpoint. I don't like under 50, over 50. It's not a great dividing line because we know that the mortality of COVID is exponential with age doubling roughly every 7 years. That's a big deal. So over 50 is not as helpful as saying 50 to 55, 55 to 60, 60 to 65, and on and on. But it's what we got. It's better than nothing. Best COVID data on Delta we got. Out of 307 total cases, only 82 of them were in the unvaccinated. The larger lion's share of those were actually in the vaccinated. So more people over the age of 50 who were vaccinated ended up in the hospital than people who were not vaccinated. So that's not great data here for the Delta and the vaccinated status. But maybe that's a fluke. Let's go to the second set of rows where it says cases where presentation to emergency care resulted in overnight inpatient admission. So again, under 50, we had what, 1,300? I can't read through that blue really easily. What was that, 1,283? Yeah. So we have like a lot of patients under 50. 967 of them were unvaccinated. Very few of them were vaccinated. That's 100, 220, maybe 260. So if you're vaccinated, you're under 50, much less chance of ending up in the hospital overnight as compared to unvaccinated. However, if you're over 50, that reverts and inverts again. Here we see 11 and 140 and 265, so that's 310, 20 or so ended up in the hospital who were over 50, and just 195 who were unvaccinated over 50 ended up in the hospital overnight. And then we get all the way down here to the last set of rows, deaths within 28 days of positive specimen date. Again, I'm not a huge fan of that way of assigning a COVID death, but it's what we got. And here we find, again, that if you are under the age of 50, you have a much higher chance of dying. But if you are over 50, much higher chance of dying if you're unvaccinated. Let me finish that sentence. But if you're over 50 and you're vaccinated, you have a much higher chance of dying than if you're unvaccinated. That's what the data says. So that's all very confusing. Let me help you. We're just going to put some numbers to that. 69% of the people over the age of 50 who are vaccinated died, compared to 31%, 69%, sorry, of the total amount who did die. So that's 200 and some odd deaths. Again, let me back up. Let me be totally clear. This has a very low case fatality rate. So this is 200 and, 200 and what number we got there? 31? Yeah, 231 people out of 170,000 people who got, had a detected COVID infection with the Delta variant. But of the people who did die, more people who were vaccinated than unvaccinated died, 69% to 31. So that's the data we have right now. And if we went further and assigned percentages to these top numbers, if you were under the age of 50, again, just 26 deaths out of 170,000 cases, which is just minuscule, almost, I don't even, like, that is a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage. Of those who did die, which was just 26, 81% of them were unvaccinated compared to vaccinated. Again, I wish they did something more sophisticated than under 50, over 50. The buckets are just too large to really be helpful. But it's what we got. So that's really the data that we've got. The summary of that so far is that according to the UK data, the Delta variant is a lot less lethal, with a case fatality rate of just 0.2%. Good news. That is great news. More perplexing is that for those who are vaccinated who are over the age of 50, your odds of being harmed or dying in this case are actually higher. Your odds of ending up overnight in the hospital are actually higher if you're vaccinated and over 50. So that complicates the story. I'm not quite sure what to make of that. I'm sure that explains at least part of the reason this report was delayed in its release, because that's takes a while to sort of understand that. This, all I'm going to say about this is that this deserves a lot more investigation. I think it's irresponsible, however, for people in the United States, and I've heard this from Fauci, I've heard this from Biden, I've heard this from Biden administration people, I've heard this from newscasters on CNBC, I've heard this all over the place, actually, that the vast majority of the cases that are in the hospital in the United States are among the unvaccinated. Now, how can that be? We're using the same vaccines as the UK, but in the UK, it's not that clear of a story. In fact, for the over 50 crowd, which are the people who should have been vaccinated first, the odds of ending up in the hospital are much, much higher. So we need to understand, is that a legitimate difference? Are they doing something wrong in how they're characterizing this in the UK? Or is the US doing something wrong? But these two pieces of data don't fit. It can't be true that the same vaccines in the US and the UK are resulting in vastly different outcomes for who ends up in the hospital. In the United States, the claim is everybody who's in the hospital is unvaccinated. In the UK case, it's less clear than that. In fact, people who are over the age of 50 have a higher chance, if they're vaccinated, of ending up in the hospital or dying. Those two pieces of data don't fit. I'm actually going to trust this data as being accurate until I get better data. I don't trust assertions. I don't trust officials. I don't trust proclamations. I don't trust statements. I don't trust newscasters because they've not been trustworthy up to now. I like the data. So here's the data. I think this tells a really interesting story about that. So happy conclusion. Guess what? The Delta variant is a lot less worrisome. And by the way, this is total daily deaths across the globe. We've been seeing this for a while. That would comport with the idea that the Delta variant is less lethal. We have, this is the table where I've pulled it out from that UK study showing that the case fatality rate is just 0.2% as compared to the 1.9% in the Alpha and the 1.4% in the Beta. Okay, so a lot less lethal. That's the good news. So this is great news. I don't think any of this really supports the idea that we have to really double and triple down and that we're going to have vaccine passports and that we're going to have to, you know, really lock things down again. The data doesn't support that. But I'll just tell you this anecdotally. Everywhere I've gone, I just came off of a short mini vacation. Roads are packed. People are going everywhere. I don't see a lot of masks in the stores. People have gotten back on with living their lives. I think that's a good thing. I never lived in fear, and I hope you didn't either, of dying from the flu. Was it a risk? Sure, it was a risk. But it's got about the same risk now as this Delta variant, which is now all over the place, and I'm not that worried about it. Personally, I'm just not. 0.2% doesn't say to me that I should live my life in fear and that I ought to be willing to engage in other sort of risky things, like take, you know, increasingly wackadoodle, you know, untested medical experimental devices. I think what we need is we all need to take a deep breath. We need to sit back and go, how much are we willing to upend our lives in terms of privacy or certain rights in order to combat something with a case fatality rate of 0.2%? That's a conversation we really ought to be having, and that's a conversation I like to have, particularly at Peak Prosperity. We're going to have a lot of those conversations. These are all the ways you can follow us. These are all the ways you can support us, but I've got a really explosive, for me, part two to this whole thing where I think I understand what's actually going on. And we're going to talk about that. And you're going to be able to find that if you haven't already, if you're not a member at Peak Prosperity, by clicking this link right here. And this will take you over to our website and you can figure out how to join us there. By the way, a lot of this is going to have to be, again, behind a paywall, which I apologize for. I'm very sorry about that, because the things I'm going to be talking about are the kinds of things that could get me obviously censored. It's happened to people much larger than myself in terms of reach and all of that and popularity. So that's the world we live in. I do think there's something very, very important happening right now. Love to have your input and engagement on that. So come on by Peak Prosperity if you want. Otherwise, I'll see you here next time and we'll have another report. But for now, please don't fear the Delta. Looks to me more transmissive, less lethal. See you next time.